Welcome to Faith and Victory Church. Faith and Victory Church is an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. We welcome all who love to worship God and those who wish to deepen their relationship with Him. Pastors Matt and Crystal Krachunas are inviting you to come worship with them and the congregation of Faith and Victory Church this Sunday. To find out more about Faith and Victory Church, check out our website, www.faithandvictory.com. You will find that there is something for everyone at Faith and Victory Church. Now join us for the Spirit-filled message.
If service was any indication, I might go a little long this morning. Okay, if you guys had somewhere to be, you'd be there. But instead, you're here, so it'll be fine. I guarantee you'll be out of here by 1:30. I'm just kidding. It's 2. All right, let's pray. All right, Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for today. And Lord, I thank you that your word is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. And God, I pray today that you would speak to us by your word. God, that it would change us, Lord, that we wouldn't leave here the same way that we came. God, we're just asking for your presence to be in this message. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would use it to convict us, to change us. God, I pray specifically for those people that are here today that think this message is not for them, that you would speak to their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit and let them know it's specifically for them, that you have them here to hear this message. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a movie before. Have you guys ever seen a movie before?
Yeah.
Hey, sinners. All right, so typically in movies, whenever somebody's fixing to die, have you noticed this? They always say the most important thing. Like they're on the deathbed and they've been shot or something, and they're like, "It was Bob. He did it to me." Or, "I hid it in the well. There's jars of gold in there." Or whatever it is. They always say their most important, "I always wanted to."
Uh-huh.
Right? And so whenever anybody's fixing to leave, they always seem to tell you the last thing, right? When I was a kid, my mom would leave the house, and she's like, "Before I leave, this is what you got to do." That's just how it is. Well, today what we're going to be looking at is something from the book of Matthew with Jesus. And, yeah, I know you guys are like, "What, John? I flipped the script on you." You guys are like, "We was waiting for John." You know what? Just let me give you a little update. We are not going to be back in John for about a month. I'm preaching a message on missions today. And then we're going to have Advent starts next week. So we're going to do our 4 weeks of Advent, love, peace, joy, and fear. What's the other one? I forget what the fourth one is. But we're going to do those for 4 weeks. Pastor Crystal's going to preach on a Sunday. Pastor Jay's going to preach on a Sunday. So it's going to be a good time. We'll get back to John after the holidays. We're just going to take a little breather. I know you guys have been kind of bogged down it. So anyway, back to the message today. So the message today is Jesus' last words to his disciples before he took off. And so when somebody's fixing to leave, what they tell you is of the utmost importance. And so we're going to look at that verse today, and it's in Matthew chapter 28. You can turn there with me. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at verses 16 through 20. And he says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" What I want to talk to you about today is the importance of missions, what they are and why you should use your money to support them. That's right. We're talking about some money issues today. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not glad three people are excited. The tax person's really excited about it. The only person in the room excited to talk about money is the tax person. You know, oftentimes when we end up talking, for some reason, when I start talking about money, people get this sense of like, "Oh, the church must be in financial calamity." Man, things have never been better in the church. The church is just fine. But when God tells me to preach something, I preach it. And so today is Mission Sunday, and I believe that you are missing out on the best that God has for you because you're not supporting missions. And so we're going to talk about that today. So what are missions? The word missions basically means service. So if you look at that word, it means it's service to the local effort to evangelize the people. So whenever a missionary goes somewhere, they are going there with the expressed purpose of sharing with them, Don't worry about it. It's just the kids, right? This is your daily reminder of us getting out of here one day. It'll be fine. The new church we're going to build is going to have a toilet in the back and noise upstairs, just to keep you humble. And so when people go and evangelize somewhere, they're doing it with the expressed intent of sharing with the people the good news of Jesus Christ. What we do here at Faith and Victory Church, and you may not realize it, but it is a mission. We didn't come from the home office in Omaha and get sent out here to, you know, establish with people that were already here looking for a church. We started this church 10 years ago with six people in hopes that there were people that were not connected to a local church who didn't know Jesus that now attend this church. Amen?
Amen.
Raise your hand if before coming here you didn't have a local church or you didn't know Jesus. You weren't connected to a local church or you didn't know Jesus. Raise your hand. Be proud. I'd be proud. Look at that. That's good. You can clap to that. That's great. That is because of the work of this church. This church is a missionary church. We have been sent to the city of Auburn, Washington, to be able to reach people with the truth of Jesus Christ. Missions often involve going and sometimes coming back. We can look in Acts chapter 2, where there was Paul and Barnabas went somewhere and then they came back. And so sometimes you do that. But sometimes you get sent to a mission and you stay there. There's missionaries all over the earth that have been sent to places, and they are now a missionary to that place. I believe that God has sent Crystal and I here to Auburn, Washington. I've talked to him many times about opening up a church somewhere that's far more warmer and exotic than L.A. Amen? And when I say L.A., I mean Lower Auburn. Amen? People say, where are you a pastor? I say, L.A., Lower Auburn. That's how we roll. And so we know that we're called here, so we're stuck here. Not in a bad way, it's just where we're going to be. And I believe the only way I'm getting out of here is either being raptured or feet first. That's just how it's going to be. And so the goal of missions is to get people into a relationship with Jesus, but that relationship is dependent on getting them connected to a local church. Okay? I used to erroneously believe that you could be a Christian and not be attached to a local church. I've since changed my theology on that because I believe that you cannot be a Christian and not be connected to a local church. And some people would say, well, I don't understand that. I thought that what saves me is my relationship with Jesus Christ. It is. But help me understand this. If you fully love Jesus, you're fully committed to Him, you fully received Him as your Savior, why do you not want to be in relationship with His bride?
Yeah, come on.
Why do you not want to be in relationship with His church? And I tell you, in my life, I have not met somebody who is a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ who isn't connected to a local body.
That's right.
A lot of times they're disgruntled and they got excuses and reasons why they don't like me or don't like you. And I always say, man, come. We need another lunkhead, man. There's more than enough room for broken people. That's why we send money to these people in Slovakia, Mark and Liz Holdcraft. You can look at it on our website. On our website, we've got a place for missions. You can see all the missions that we support. Mark and Liz are great missionaries in the nation of Slovakia. And what they do there is they go and they're planting churches. That's what they do because the town that they're in Slovakia, before they went there, did not have any local churches. And so they've been sent there to plant churches. People cannot be discipled in the ways of following Jesus if they're not part of a local church. How do you learn to love people you don't like unless you're at a church? You know what I'm saying? You avoid them. But when you're in a local church with a bunch of broken people you don't like, you're forced to grow. Amen? Look at your neighbor and says, he's talking about you. Amen? Now here's the deal. As much as that is missions, let me tell you what is not missions. And some of you are going to get offended when I say this, but let me finish my point. Missions is not putting in a water well. And some people say, well, I thought I would put in a water well for Jesus. You know what? Missions is not going and putting in a health clinic. Missions is not, hear me out, church, let me finish, don't walk out. Missions is not feeding the poor. Missions is not clothing the unclothed. That is not missions. Now, is it important for us as Christian people to feed people that need food? Yes. Important to clothe people that need clothes? Yes. Important for us to give medical attention? Yes. Important for us to, you know, plant a well in the middle of some godforsaken place that doesn't have running water? Yes. It's important for us to do those things. But when you do those things, in and of themselves, charity work is not mission work. It's what's known as social justice. And there's nothing wrong, per se, with social justice. The problem is that people, and this has happened in America, and it's everywhere, and you need to be aware of it. Excuse me. People have been worshiping at the altar of social justice at the expense of the gospel.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
People have made the gospel out to be serving the poor. And they say, well, if you're not serving the poor, you are not preaching the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ came to save sinners. That's the gospel. The gospel is that without Jesus, you're a sinner that's going to hell. And the truth of the gospel is, bless God, by receiving Him as Savior, you're no longer going to go to hell. That's the good news. Now, should we feed people that need food? Yes, of course we should. But if you are feeding them without telling them the truth of the gospel, that is not mission work. I'm all about doing good things for people, but I'm going to do a good thing for a person and let them know that it's because Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. Jesus said to go out and make disciples. He didn't say go out and give them blankets. Now, if giving somebody a blanket is going to give you a doorway to be able to share the gospel with them, then by all means, do that. Amen? That's why at our church, we put a lot of money into this entity called the South Sound Dream Center. Okay, we support them with hundreds of dollars every single month. It's down on Auburn Way. You can go see where their place is at. And we support them because we believe in what they do. They help people that are homeless. They help people that need food. They need people that need rent assistance. They need people that have all these financial needs. And so we have partnered with them because they have the infrastructure to be able to help those that are amongst us that are the most needy. But every time they do it, they tell them about Jesus. They're not just merely doing it. There's a bunch of people that don't believe in Jesus that go out and do good things. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things. You know what the number one charity is in America is the American Red Cross. They have an annual revenue of $3 billion. And there's a lot of people that don't love Jesus that give money to the Red Cross. And that's great. You can text your phone right now to the American Red Cross and give them $10. But don't call that mission work. It's charity work. And there's nothing wrong with charity. As Christians, we should have charity. We should help people that are in need. But we can't do those things and not tell people about Jesus and call it mission work. Mission work is telling people about Jesus. So where do we do those missions? Well, interestingly enough, the Bible has the answer. So, come on, that was kind of funny, wasn't it? So in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and to the utmost ends of the earth. Now, what's interesting about this thing is that Jesus talks about you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And a lot of times, you know, we have a little bit of a, woo, Holy Ghost church. And so people get real excited about the Holy Ghost because they like to feel the tinglies. Amen. You know, you have your little worship time, and you feel a little bit, ooh, that felt nice. And, you know, Pastor Crystal gives you a little prophetic word. Ooh, that's nice. But you realize that the Holy Spirit came for us to go out and evangelize? The Holy Spirit didn't come so that you could sit in church and feel the tinglies. There's a lot of parts of the body, but God don't need no more butts. Amen? It's true. God has empowered us to go out and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And when Jesus was talking about the scripture, the way that he talked about it, he laid it out in such a way for us to understand what he meant. And you say, well, I don't want to go to Jerusalem. I don't want to go to Samaria. I don't want to go to the ends of the earth. Well, that's not exactly what he was talking about. What he was talking about is he said, you're going to go to Jerusalem. The Jerusalem is saying where you're at. Right where you're at. If he was here, he'd say, the Holy Spirit's come upon you to minister to the people in Auburn instead of Jerusalem. Okay? The next part of it, he says Samaritans. So for those of you that have heard my messages a few weeks ago that were talking about the Samaritans were a bunch of nasty mongrel breeds that the Jewish people hated. And so he says, not only do you have to minister to the people that you know, but you got to minister to the people you don't like.
Yeah.
It's easy to minister to people that you like. You know what I mean? But it's hard to minister to people that you don't like. And then he says, you know what? You also have to go and minister to the ends of the earth. You got to go anywhere and everywhere that I'm going to ask you to go to touch people with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is our charge. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what our focus is supposed to be as Christians. And, you know, a lot of times people lose the focus of that in our lives. People say, "Well, I got saved and I'm redeemed now, but what do I do?" You are supposed to be leading other people to the light. If you're out in the middle of the desert and you've found a well full of water, you don't sit there and get drunk on it. You go find other people that might be thirsty and say, "I found a well." Here's the whole entire gospel. It's in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin so that through him we could become the righteousness of God.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means before Jesus, you were a dirty, rotten, peggy dog sinner with no hope at all.
Yeah.
Okay? And what did God do? God took a perfect man in Jesus who was God in the flesh and made him into sin for you so that one day you could stand before God as the shining example of his holiness.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen? That's an exciting thing. That's the whole entire gospel. And so when we go and we do mission work, we are sharing that truth with people. The fact that they don't have to spend eternity in hell, they can spend eternity in heaven by receiving the free gift of Jesus Christ's gift on the cross.
Yes.
Free. Nothing you got to do to receive it. You just got to receive it in Jesus' name. And that's the truth that God wants us to share with people. Now I understand John 3:16, right? You guys know that verse, right? "For God so loved the world." Man, that thing gets some good press. You know what I'm saying? And you know why it gets so much press? Because it says, "God so loved the world." And you know, the gospel has really kind of been turned into this thing where people want to go around and tell people how much God loves them. And he does love them. But do you know why he loves some people? Because he doesn't want them to go to hell. I wish John 3:16 had the word hell in it somewhere. It would have been a lot more effective. People are so afraid to use the word hell nowadays. They say, "Well, somebody's going to be offended."
Yeah, come on.
Offended? Man, if you went to the doctor and you had high cholesterol, he wouldn't say to you, "You know, I don't want to offend you, but if you don't change something, you're fixing to die. But I don't want to offend you. No offense. It's your blood pressure. It's just between you and you. You've got a personal relationship with your blood pressure loves you so much." Listen, I'm glad that God loves us, but the story of God's love for us is the story of the cross.
Yeah, come on.
It's the story of redemption. And that's the truth that we share. And where do we share that? And I'm sharing these in the order of importance. Stay with me, okay? The first place that we need to share that is in our own lives.
Yeah.
Some people love writing a check to missionaries because then it takes them off the hook. Man, bless God. I'm so glad that there's people out there sharing about Jesus because I sure don't want to. Last thing I want to do, last thing I got to do is go share with somebody the gospel. God's charge to us is that in our lives, where we work, where we sleep, where we buy, where we shop, where we eat, where we recreate, God has placed you there so that you can share with those people the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do that? You don't walk up to be like, "Hey, sinner, what's going on? You need Jesus. Let me tell you about how you're not going to go to hell today." Like, there's a right and a wrong way to do that. There's a loving way to do that. There's a way to be able to, you know, build relationships with your neighbors, to look for that opportunity to be able to share it. I mean, you move into your place the first day and introduce yourself. "Hey, how's it going? I'm here to tell you about how you're not going to hell." They're going to lock their doors and they're not going to talk to you. But God will open up an opportunity and you should take it. You go to shops that I don't go to. You go to restaurants that I don't go to. And our relationship with Jesus was never meant to be personal.
That's right.
See, right. People, for some reason, I don't know where this came from. I got a personal relationship with Jesus. And that's great. You should have a personal relationship with Jesus, but it shouldn't be at the expense of not sharing it with the public.
That's right. Come on.
People, don't y'all go to Sunday school? "Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine." Man, those are the good songs. It reminds me of people that say they want to be married but don't want to be seen with their spouse. Man, how can you be married and not be proud of your spouse? "Oh, honey, I'm going to go somewhere tonight, but you're not going. There'll be some people there tonight that I do not want them to see me with you." But it's shameful, isn't it? But my personal relationship with Jesus, I'm just going to put him up on a shelf while I go out tonight to do what I want to do. Because I don't want people to look at me differently. What if they think I'm a... What if they actually thought I was married? What would they ever think about me? What would they think if they actually knew I loved someone?
Come on.
They might judge me.
Come on.
They might think I'm a bad person.
Come on.
You know, we have a calling in our lives to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere that we go.
Yeah.
We should have no shame in that. Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. People say, I don't want to share it because people ain't going to like me. They don't like you already. You say, oh, they're going to talk about me behind my... They already do. They're going to think I'm weird. They already do. Here, nobody likes you. Seriously. People, you think people at work, well, they're going to talk funny about it. They already do. They're going to love you more for being honest about who you are. You know, it's one of the hardest things to teach young kids is how to not worry so much about what everybody else thinks.
Yeah.
It's the biggest problem with people in junior high and high school. They were so worried about what everybody else thinks.
Yeah.
We have hormones. The problem is some people don't move past junior high and high school.
Yeah. Come on.
So I don't want to go. I need to shop here. I need to buy this. I need to go do that because somebody's going to say something. We can say nothing. Would you just represent Jesus Christ in your life? Second place that we do that, sorry, I was preaching there for a second. Second place that we can do that is in our local church. Bless God, you're doing that today. Just pat yourself on the back. Say, man, good job. Yay, you. You know what I mean? You mission at your local church. And here's the part too. Some people don't realize that when you come to church, you're being a missionary. Church doesn't work unless you're here. Because the ministry of the body happens every single time we come together. When you come in here together and you know, the hug and why we got to hug people, why we got to hold hands, why we got to smile, I got to talk to people. Because you're human and you were made for relationship. You can't hug nobody through Facebook. Nobody ever came to me and said, oh, somebody poked me today on Facebook. It was so great. What is that, a poke? This at least this, you feel it. See, here's the interesting thing about church. When you come into church, every single time, there are people in this room that are halt people. And I've talked about this before, and you remember this. Halt people are hurting, angry, lonely, and tired. Some of you said, that's me. Hurting, angry, lonely, and tired. Halt. But for some reason, when a hurting person loves on another hurting person, both of us feel a little bit better than we did before.
Well, sure.
When an angry person is forced to hug another angry person, you just come away a little less angry. When you're a lonely person, you come in, you got to hang around with all these funny looking people, you just walk away feeling a little bit less lonely. For some reason, having Pastor Matt beat you up with the scriptures makes you a little less tired. Amen? And so when you show up, you live out the mission of the local church. And you should have that mission mindset when you come in here. You say, God, how can you use me to touch somebody else's life?
That's right.
We're also charged to touch people in our local community. We're charged to touch the Samaritans of our lives. Those people around us that we don't want to touch. That God loves as much as He loves us. Those people where we live that we'd rather not talk to.
Yeah, come on.
The funny looking people. The smelly people. The angry people. The scary people. See, it's funny, people want to help the destitute, but for some reason, God always calls me to talk to scary people. People that look like they could beat me up. You know what's so funny? My wife, God bless her, she's so awesome. There's this guy at our gym who's got like big, huge muscles. Like his arms are like as big as my thighs. And he's the guy, if you've ever been to the gym, the one that you always know he's there, because he's like, rah! And he's yelling and screaming, you know what I mean? The look at me guy that wears the thing and the roo, roo, roo. You know what I mean? The Lord laid him on Crystal's heart. And so every time he's in the gym, I swear he runs. But she gets, she'll get him. Like the other day, he was on the leg press and he's doing the leg press with like this many weights. And Crystal comes up and he's like, you know what? God's got a plan for your life. He's like, she's like, I mean it, brother. God's been putting you on my heart. I've been praying for you, and I see it in your face, and God's going to deliver you from that. And he's got a plan for your life, brother. You believe it. But you know what's so funny? I say that to him, and he'll get with him. He's like, with her, he's like, I know. It's a mission field for her, right? He's not going to cuss her about. Partly because I'm on the other side of the gym, but God has a mission for you where you're at. And you know what? That guy probably thinks that we're a bunch of nutballs. He made the mistake of giving me his phone number about 6 months ago because he needed help with his resume. And so Crystal said, without even asking me, she goes, "You should come to our house for Thanksgiving on Thursday." And I was like, "Bless God, crazy guy." And so she said, "Honey, text him our address right now." And I was like, "All right." So I text him the address, and I said, "Hey, I just want to let you know, and here's our address, our real home address, our real home address, not the fake one." And he's like, "I'm gonna do something else." I said, "That's fine." Thursday, we still text him. I said, "Hey, just want to let you know, dinner's at 3:00. He didn't come. That's fine. But you know what? We're living out what God asked us to live out. And he already thought we were crazy before I even started talking to him about Jesus. See, here's the part of it, man. I don't think that it's the church's job to do everything. We just can't. Okay, we're limited by what we can do. We're just a simple church in a simple building. We don't have showers. We don't have housing for homeless. We don't have room to have a food bank. We don't have room to carry a bunch of extra stuff. It's just the nature of where we're at. We're down in an industrial park. People don't walk by here like they do down in Auburn. But you know what we do? We partner with the people in Auburn, like the South Sound Dream Center, that do the tangible stuff that we can't do. Amen? And then we do national missions. Okay? And national missions are the times when we've given money to mission work being done here in the U.S. Now we've got the opportunity with Glenn and Jenna to be able to do this mission in Washington State. It's a way for us to support someone else who is doing the work of the gospel. Okay? And people depend on these monies. They depend on them because they're in a place that hasn't yet grown up to be able to support its mission. And so that person is able to focus wholly on the mission at hand versus being concerned with the money part of it. Okay? When you grow in your understanding of what is important in the heart of God, you will see the importance of missions.
Amen. There it is, right there.
Mm-hmm. You'll see how important it is. Like, and here's the example. I'm not trying to say anything about who I am. I'm just using it as an example. How many of you feel better in your spiritual walk or farther along because of the mission work that we did here at Faith and Victory Church? Well, hopefully, three of you. That's great. I should find a church where the Spirit moves, man. But we'll be here every week. And that's the touch that everybody else is able to do all over the planet because of money that we give to them. Right? And I believe that national mission work is the new mission field. For some reason, people have forgotten about America and want to go everywhere else. I'm not saying we shouldn't go everywhere else. God will give you a burden for somewhere. Me, I'm a little bit about the whole deal, and I'll tell you why. People love to go somewhere that's real tropical to go on a mission trip because they'd be like, "Hey, come with us to mission to wherever. You'll get 5 days on a beach and a safari, and it'll be awesome. But we'll do 3 days of Jesus work so you can get some support and everybody think you're doing mission work." See, I don't believe in that. I believe that you should go to a place where you have to pray and believe that God is going to be with you when you go. I'll tell you, one of the places that God has laid on my heart, and I don't know how, I don't know where, but I believe that our church is going to be involved in the city of Camden, New Jersey. You say, "Why Camden?" Because you know what? I don't know why, but God put a burden on my heart for Camden, New Jersey. Like about a year ago, I was reading a newspaper article about the most violent cities in America. And Detroit and Camden kind of run neck and neck. Now, Camden is a city about the same size as Auburn. Do you know how many murders they have a year? Like 200 to 300.
Oh my God.
200 to 300 in a city the size of Auburn. People get all up in arms in Seattle about 20 murders. And I'm not saying those people's lives don't matter. Seattle's a city of 500,000, 20 murders. Camden is about 60,000, 200 to 300 murders a year. You can go there on Google Maps and you can walk the streets and see there's buildings there that are boarded up with graffiti. The place looks like Beirut. And I think, man, those people need Jesus. And so, I mean, I've spent, like, hours researching Camden. I don't know why. Like, it was started by the East India Trading Company in the 1600s. Like, I know things about Camden. And I believe I'm going to go there next year. Like, it's so funny how God works. Lord laid on my heart about Camden. And then, like, a month ago, a guy on my Facebook that I went to high school with is like, going back home to Camden. And I was like, you're from Camden? So I texted him. And he's like, I was asking him, I said, hey, man, I said, can I go to Camden with you sometime? And he was like, you don't want to go. He's like, they don't like your type. I'm going to go, man. I don't know what God has for us there, but I believe somehow we're going to be in Camden. I don't know doing what. Not me specifically, like planning a church, but I believe the Lord has a connection for us in Camden. I don't know what it is. Amen. International missions, we support places in Africa, Europe, Haiti, South America. Again, you can go to the website. But the bulk of our missions money goes here in Auburn. Why? Because I think it's special when you can drive on Auburn Way and look at the South Sound Dream Center and see people there and be like, do you know what? My money's in that place. My heart's in that. There's people there that are being touched by my money.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that we've sent money all over the globe, but that's a place that we put a lot of money in that you can look at and know that your money is doing something great.
Yeah.
I found a missionary in Hungary, and I don't want to commit to this yet because after this preaching, you're going to start giving more money. Maybe we can do it. I haven't even got to the money part. Wait to that. That'll be fun. I found a missionary in Hungary. This guy... him and his wife, they can plant a new church for $4,000. And you say, well, how do they plant a new church for $4,000? Well, because churches need sound systems and chairs and a place to meet. And so because of the way that economy works with $4,000, it's enough to take a pastor, put him in a place, a Hungarian guy, to be able to start a new church. And I thought, man, wouldn't it be awesome if our church could raise $4,000 a year to be able to plant one new church in Hungary? I mean, $4,000 doesn't seem like a whole lot of money to be able to start a church.
Yeah, come on.
So how do money and missions get connected? This is the best part. I've been waiting for this. Nobody said amen to that. Why are you so afraid to talk about money? You think about it every single day.
Yeah.
You think about your money every single day.
Yeah, come on.
So why shouldn't we talk about it? If you didn't like preaching about money, you wouldn't like Jesus' preaching. Talking about money a lot. So, first and foremost, how is money and missions connected? You have to support the mission of the local church. Okay? When the local church is fully supported financially, she is able to do her job more effectively. And I'll tell you, I don't know if I said this already, I'll say it again. People always worry when I talk about money, the church is having financial issues. We are not having financial issues, okay? I've been working for you as your pastor full-time for the last 5 years. It'll be 5 years in December that I've been full-time in the ministry. There has not been 1 month in 5 years that I have not been paid. Every single month. And that's not, and people that have been here long, you'll tell them, I've never had to do a second offering. I've never had to do the guilt ask. Never had to do it. This church has paid for its bills every single month in cash for the last 10 years. God is faithful in this church. So don't think just because I'm talking about money that I'm like, oh, pastor needs this. I don't need nothing. God is my provider, but you need to understand what God wants you to do with your money. You need to know when you are supporting the mission of a local church, you are supporting a mission, and this is a bona fide mission, man. This is, gives you the freedom to not feel guilty when you see a ton of needs out there, because there is a ton of needs out here. But I'll be honest, you don't know. And it's just hard. It's just the nature of what we do here. You can't know every last thing that we do in this church with our money because people are just a little bit embarrassed about it. Okay? If and I'll use Crystal for an example. It's just easy because if I use anybody, somebody's like, why are you using me an example? So, no, sometimes the church does things like help people with like an electric bill or something like that, right? I mean, and somebody say, you know, well, it's $100 or something like that. And it's like, what am I going to do? Am I going to bring them up on Sunday and be like, church, let's just regale in the fact that we've helped this poor soul. You can't do that.
No.
And they wouldn't want you to do that anyway.
No.
But we do that stuff,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
We can't do as much as we'd like, but we do what we can.
Yeah.
And it's a blessing.
Yeah.
One of the biggest blessings that this church has is that it has a full-time pastoral staff. And I don't know if you've ever had to call on the ministry of a pastor in your life, but You know, it's a whole lot nicer to have somebody that didn't have to work 12 hours today.
Yeah.
It's some other job, somebody that can't stay up late, can't be there early, can't give full attention to the Word. That's one of the greatest missions that the church has, is it gives you an opportunity to have a pastoral staff. You know, Crystal and I are able to work full-time for the church. Todd and Aubrey are able to work full-time for the church. Now we're able to have Amber as a children's minister full-time. Pastor Jeremy and Brittany are trending. They're on a little stipend, but we'll get them there soon. They're next on the list. Ministry happens in the local church. This stuff doesn't just magically fall out of the air. Like, everything that happens here happens because somebody's helping organize it. And it's a mission to people's lives. And so when you pay your tithes, I don't want you to think, like, oh, wow, it must be nice. I don't know where this is going. Well, it's going to do all the things that you see and feel and touch every single week.
Yeah.
Do you guys like sitting inside with heat?
Yeah.
It's kind of nice. Do you like, you know what I mean? You like having a message that's a little bit deeper than, you know, half a sentence?
Yeah.
Gives me the time to be able to prepare it. You like the fact that ministers will be able to go minister to people? You support the mission of the local church? It does that. Amen? Here, let me... I knew we were going to go a little long. Yeah, it's fine. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Let me show you this. And, you know, this is a giving scripture that I never really noticed this before until this week. And I've read this scripture so many times. Philippians chapter 4. Now, Paul was a great missionary. He went out and planted churches. He planted a church in Philippi. And so after he went to Philippi, he planted a church, and he left, and then he wrote the church in Philippi back. And he wrote him a letter. And that's where you get the book of Philippians. And so he's writing to them, and he's thanking them for their gifts. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Because Paul planted a church, and then he went out. He says, indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. He's talking specifically about money. I'm not saying this because I'm in need. See? Paul knew. He didn't need their money. He said, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So Paul had to live without getting what he may have wanted or had an abundance of. But he said, you know what? I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can go through any cycle. But here's where it gets interesting. And this is the part, it really almost, it pained me. Verse 14, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. How did they share in their troubles? Money. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of our acquaintance with the gospel, when I was sent out from Macedonia, so they all barely knew each other, he got sent out to Macedonia. What does he say? Not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. There's a bunch of churches that didn't do anything for Paul, except for the Philippian church. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Amen? You know, there is a pastor that I know that is around here. Okay? His wife had an addiction problem with pills. Pastor's wife. And he reached out to the pastors that he knew. And there's churches that were larger than our churches that said no. Our church gave him $1,500. Again, how, and people say, well, why did we do that? Why? Because no one else would. And we share in that. It's an acceptable sacrifice. It's something that we share in that if somebody wrote a book about our church, they're not going to say, your church didn't do anything for me. It's an acceptable sacrifice. You think God doesn't know? You think God doesn't see?
Yeah. Come on.
And so how do we do that? We tithe. Yeah. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that we may not have room enough for it. And that's what's part about when you give to God, your finances are going to be blessed for it. I guarantee it. But here's the other part of it. I don't even tithe because I want the blessing. I don't even care. If I don't get anything back from God, I will pay tithes every day until the day that I die.
Amen.
I'll skip a bill. People say, why are you going to skip a bill? Because most of it is debt I incurred on my own without God's help.
Amen. Come on.
I did it on my own, and I shouldn't shame God by not doing
Amen.
That.
There you go.
I may not get money back, but I don't care. I get the satisfaction of knowing that I've put God first in my finances, and it is affecting people's lives.
That's right.
Jesus knew our hearts towards money.
Yeah.
He said, where your money is, there your treasure will be also.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, the biggest problem with tithing is that you could use that money for so much fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's true. Many of y'all heard me talk about my money stuff. Dude, what's some of y'all know, one of the biggest things that I want in this life is a jet ski. Bless God. Do you know what else I want? I want a hot tub. I want a hot tub, man. I don't know how. I've been trying to work a way that I can bring people to Jesus with that hot tub. And there ain't nothing wrong with having a hot tub, man. If you can afford it, you can afford it. The problem is I got kids. And if I didn't tithe, I could probably afford a hot tub and a jet ski. But you know what's interesting is that when you die, you don't bring anything with you.
Not even the hot tub.
I've even tried to say, well, I can minister to so many people with that jet ski. Lead so many people to Jesus. But that stuff doesn't matter. That stuff doesn't impact the world. All it does is satisfy my flesh.
Yeah, come on.
Don't miss
come
this
on.
Point, folks.
Come on.
If I live my whole life in my current situation with my current lifestyle, I will die a happy man.
Amen.
Here's the last part. Give me just a few more minutes, okay? I'm challenging you this morning in two areas. The first one is, of course, it's the tithe. Okay, and it's not really the main part of this, but honestly, the tithe helps the church accomplish her mission. We give the South Sound Dream Center $400 every single month, no matter what, regardless of the mission money that comes in. So if you look on this envelope, there's four little boxes. The Lord's tithe, it's 10% of what you make. So if you make $200, you give the Lord $20. If you give the Lord if you make $2,000, you give the Lord $20. You gave the Lord $20. You didn't tithe. Just being honest, man. Tithe means tenth. Missions. Now, what I'm asking you to do today, and I'll tell you, when it comes, I mean, I don't need to ask you to tithe. It's the truth, man. Okay? It's only in the Bible. That's it. Missions. I want every single family in this church to commit to missions giving. And you say, man, I already have so many things I'm paying for. Folks, our church is trending. We're about a church of about 200 people now. And bless God, isn't that awesome? I can't even believe it sometimes. I don't know. We probably have 75 families that are associated with this church. So you think if every family just gave like $20 or $50, man, we'd have like a few $1,000s to give to missions every single month. And I know that your life situation, you might be like, man, Pastor, where am I going to come up with an extra $20 or $50? I don't know. Maybe you should have a conversation with God and ask him whether or not he can fill the gaps in your life. Because I don't know, either you believe that God knows what's going on or you don't. Either you know that he knows what's going on with your finances or he doesn't. But I haven't met one person yet that has told me, man, I came into financial ruin because I just kept giving money to God.
It won't happen.
And then the offering is above and beyond that. And you're like, what? You mean I got to give tenth and a mission above and beyond there? No, you ain't got to do nothing, man. You got to do a thing. I'm just imploring you to experience the best that God has for you. An offering is this, is sometimes you just give somebody something because you love them.
Yeah.
Guys, you should be doing this with your wife. Okay? Free tip, man. It ain't even part of the sermon. Go to any place in the world that sells flowers, no matter how ugly they are, your wife will get a tear in her eye. Okay? Buy them on clearance at Safeway for $6 and run them over with the car and bring them home and your wife will think they're the sweetest thing in the world, okay? Not for her birthday, not for her anniversary, just because you love her. That's what an offering is. God, I was just thinking about you this weekend, how much I love you. Just going to give you a little more. And then the other, and I explained this in first, other would be like, Pastor Matt's hot tub. And so then you just 5,000, that's just what it goes to. Here's the other part, and I mean this wholeheartedly. Stick with me, folks. In this other, do you realize that you can pray and ask God if He puts somebody on your heart, and you can give somebody money in this church through the church? We're already giving money to people in benevolence anyway. So, you know, say Sister Jan's like, man, I see this family's in need, and I'd like to bless them anonymously. And so, Pastor, I'm just going to put this here, and I'm going to say, you know, $100, $500, whatever it is, for this family. I don't know who gives what. The guys go upstairs, and they count the stuff and put it. And here's the deal. You'll get a tax benefit from it. And I'm not trying to say, oh, well, do it for tax benefits. I'm saying if you're going to do it anyway, why not game the system? The government's going to take as much money as they can from you, and the laws are written the way that they are, so just game the system. If you're going to give somebody in the family, somebody in the church $100, just run it through the church's books and let us give it, and you get a tax benefit for it. Right. There's nothing wrong with that. You do it the other way, there's no... Am I completely right in saying so? The tax professional says yes. So here's the end. Three more minutes, and then I'm done. Okay? Don't worry. The Seahawks are probably losing already. Don't say anything if you know the score. I'm recording the game. Don't say a word. If you say it, double tithe next week. All right, so here's the satisfaction of missions, okay? The satisfaction of missions. First and foremost, you get to know that I'm being obedient to what God asks of me. There's a satisfaction in that. There's a satisfaction where you go to bed at night and you say, you know what, God, I'm doing what's asked of me. There's nothing wrong with getting a satisfaction in that, and you should be satisfied. God asks us to be mission-minded at home, at church, and to the world. Christianity isn't just fire insurance. There are things that God asks of us. God asks us to put our money where our heart is. Secondly, and this is a good one too, the satisfaction of missions is to be able to say, I'm not ruled by my money.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I have many times been ruled by my money. Fear, doubt, worry. Come on, somebody. Worried about my finances, worried... Can you guys just begin to understand how hard it is to believe that God's going to sustain this church every single month?
Yeah.
Like, God takes care of us every single month, but I have no idea what's going to happen next month. I've got to live by faith. And so when you give money not knowing what next month looks like, it says, I'm not going to be ruled by my money. I'm going to understand that God is my provider. You tangibly, demonstrably align your finances with God's plan. Last part of it, I'm involved in changing people's lives.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, I love going out to eat. It's one of the greatest things that we do, man. I blow a lot of money going out to eat. Red Robin, you got to be kidding me. All you can eat fries? Right? A bucket of chicken from KFC? I'm thinking about what we're going to do. It's just a few more minutes, man. I'm on my way to lunch. But all I get from that is a full belly. You know, some of these people are going to be going on mission trips, and I can give them $25 they could have spent on a bucket of chicken, and all of a sudden they're touching people's lives. You're involved with changing people's lives when you put God first in your finances. So this is what I'm asking you to commit today. Commit to be a tither. Commit to the mission faith. Pledge, right? To say you want, and here's the last part, and then we're going to close. I said that three times. As I was talking about missions today, I know the Holy Spirit put a number in your head. I know it because He does it to me all the time. And you know what I always do? As soon as it goes in my head, you know what I do? I half it. Because there's no way He gave me that number. Are you kidding me? Come on, man. Amen, somebody. I told you guys many times, the Lord will put a number on my heart, and then I always tell Him, you got to tell Crystal exactly the same number, else I ain't doing it, Lord. And she'll come up and be like, you know, the Lord said we should give. And I was like, oh, I knew what it was. I heard someone say, when you try to half it, just double it and give the devil a black eye. Here's the deal, man. And before we close, I just want to make sure that you know 100% of the missions money, 100% goes to missions. We're not padding the thing. We're not padding whatever. We're just doing doing the missions thing with it. Amen. Let's do this. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads? We're going to end in prayer. I just want to give you a marker something to say, this is the decision that I made. Make a commitment to God today. God, I'm going to commit to it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. And God, I thank you for blessing us with money to be able to pay our bills and be able to buy the things that we need and sometimes the things that we want and stuff that we don't need. God, I pray today that we would be a church committed to you and our finances. God, in our tithes and our offerings and our mission work. God, I pray that we would just line up our lives with your word, God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Get them out of here.